Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry, while on others thou art calling. Do not pass me by, was thinking when we were getting ready to and we're having prayer, I did mention little Fisher, and I want to be praying for him. I missed that whole row and I missed his singing today, because brother Fisher knows what it means to sing by letter. He draws back and let her rip. He lets her out, and I borrowed that from someone I heard one time and said, we sing by letter here, you know. He said, what did you mean by that? He said, we roll back and let her rip, you know. So I want to be praying for him. He's got a little fever, and they're kind of sharing something back and forth, it seems like. And we miss Brother London, Sister Leanne, and Rosalie and Fisher. So keep them in our prayers. Thankful for our little church, and thankful for each of you. Thankful for those that are with us online. I'm really and thankful for you that are here in person today. I know that there's oftentimes, that probably more times than we want to admit, that we've taken what a blessing the Lord's church is. We've taken it for granted. Taking it for granted what the Lord has done for us and given us a place like this to come out in this old troubled world and be able to sit together and to worship the Lord and all that happens in the Lord's church. The church of the Lord is the pillar and ground of the truth. It's the place the Lord has provided to feed his little lambs and to feed his sheep. It's a place that the Lord has given us to gather, to worship, and to honor and to praise him, to present our bodies, living sacrifices. And we know that if we have that, it's because the Lord worked it in us. If you love the Lord today, it's because he first loved you. If you've called out to the Lord and you recognize you need the Lord, it's because he's made you alive by his grace. He's awakened you by the work of the Holy Spirit. You have that hunger and thirst in you because you've been made a new creature. You were born of the Spirit of God. John chapter 3 talks about you must be born again. Many people in the world think that that means there's something for you to do to get to be in that spot. But in reality, just like you didn't have anything to do with your first birth, you didn't have anything to do with your new birth, your birth from above. The wind blows where it listed. That means where God sends it. We know who's in control of the wind. God can blow the wind where he sees fit to, and when he does, he can blow it to a sufficient degree. You can't make your home windproof or any building windproof. And when the wind of God blows, that's the wind of his grace, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and you can hear the sound thereof. He tells us that we can hear the sound of the wind. We can't see the wind, but we can see the evidence of the wind. You can hear the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh. Doesn't say from whence it cometh. We know where the wind comes from. We know where the new birth comes from. The new birth comes from above. You're born from above. It's a work of grace. It may have happened. Some people say, well, if that happens to you, surely you would know that it happens to you. And God's little children need to have it explained to them what has happened to them. They do know something happened to them. As the hymn writer said, something happened, and now I know. Something occurred. I know there's been a change in me. I know that I can see and understand and know things that the world cannot see and know and understand, not in an arrogant way, but in a way that people that I talk to, there are some that understand these things, and there are some that just can't see them or understand them or know them. The scripture says the world knoweth us not because it knew him not. And until the Lord opens your eyes and your ears and your heart and awakens you, all of the preaching in the world, all of the Bible reading in the world, all of mama and daddy's instruction in the world, though it may be godly and right and on track, will be of no benefit. But if the Lord has quickened you and he's made you alive, and that's a work of his grace, you need his church. You need the place that the Lord has provided for you to feed you. You need the instruction from God's word that has been given to us as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path to direct us in this world, that our eye might be single and full of light rather than the light in us be darkness. Because if the light that's in us be darkness, how great is that darkness? You say, well, what are you talking about? I'm talking about God's little children needing the Word of God to instruct us here in this world, so that when things occur, and they will occur, and trouble comes, and it will come, and the storms happen in your life, and they will happen, and the older you get, the more you'll have of them, and the longer you live, the more you'll have of them. Sometimes when we're young, we see it and hear it in other people and think, that's not going to happen to me. If you live long enough, hang in there. It's probably going to happen. And if it happens, it may happen not to you. It may happen to one. You know, it's even harder sometimes when it happens to those near and dear to you by the ties of nature than when it happens in your own life. We need something to hold on to when the wind's blowing and the rains are falling and you feel like your house is about to fall. It needs to be built on something. And the Lord has provided for us his church. Do you realize how valuable his church is? The church is not heaven. There's too much of us in it. Too much man in it. Too much of what we bring in it. Too much. It's not heaven, but it's a heavenly place. And it's a little view, a little earnest. It's the earnest of your inheritance. It's a little bit of what the Lord allows you to have to get a little foretaste of what heaven is going to be like. It's a place of escape. It's a place of refuge. It's a place where Jesus is the rock on which it's built, and Jesus is the message that's taught from its pulpit, and Jesus is what's sung in the hymns that are sung, and Jesus is what is shared in the conversation and the love that we have with one another. It's where we talk about the great physician. We talk about the one who is the bread of life. We talk about the one who's the way and the truth and the life. We talk about the one who's the light of the world. We talked about the one who is the friend of sinners. We talk about Jesus Christ, our all in all. I'm glad we have a great physician, don't you? You know, sick folks want a physician. People that are well don't need the doctor, but people that are sick want a physician. I hope you understand how sick you are. You know, that's one thing an old Baptist preacher is duty bound to tell you, how sick you are. Somebody said, well, I tell you, I feel so far from God, I don't think he could reach me in the depths of sin that I am. And the Bible comes and tells that poor sinner, look how bad you really are, even though you think you're bad off. When you look at it in the light of the Word of God, how far short do I fall of keeping God's commandments? His simple Ten Commandments. How far short do I come in keeping them? I don't break just one of them. As a matter of fact, once I understand that it's not just about doing them and in action in my body, it's about thinking about them right in my mind. It's about carrying them out not only in my outward behaviors, but in my heart, that I am doing those things that the Lord would have me to do. It's really about loving the Lord with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy mind, and then loving thy neighbor as thyself. And if you do all of that, but who does all of that? But if you did all of that, that's keeping the commandments. But if you don't in every point do that completely, then you're as guilty as if you had not done any of them. And you were guilty of all of them. And who of us want to face God in eternity saying, I've done enough, Lord. I did my part. I've done what I should have done so that everything is all right with me. Listen, if Jesus didn't love me, and if he didn't love you, if Jesus didn't, when he came, die for you and die for me, and that's what he did. Listen, he came for you. He came for me. He came for those that he loved. And who did he love? The Bible talks about a love that's so broad that it covers every little child of grace. It talks about a love that's so high that one day it'll carry every one of those little children of grace all the way to heaven. That's how high his love is. A love that's so deep that it'll reach you where you are. And the old Baptist preacher that's faithful preaches how bad off you are and then tells you how great a Savior you have to reach down into the dunghill and the dust of the earth and lift you up and set your feet upon a rock and put a new song in your mouth, even praises unto your God. If the Lord wasn't in the matter, an eagle in the tree wouldn't mean a thing to a little sister riding by. Y'all believe that? Even though God put the eagle in the tree. God made the tree. God made the eagle. God made the eye to behold it. God made the natural eye to behold it. But if God had not moved in the heart, if God hadn't spoken in the ear of faith, if God hadn't moved in your eye, in your ear, in your heart, all of those wonderful workings, do you believe with me that God every day is speaking to us in His creation, and every day He's given us His Word, and every day He talks with me, and He walks with me, and He tells me, I am His own. Just like that little hymn, a writer wrote, I come to the garden alone. And I tell you, He's right with us. And yet there's sometimes I'm scared to death. Sometimes I'm mighty afraid. Sometimes I'm like Brother Peter in this passage I'm about to read in your hearing. I want to go fishing. I've gotten weary of waiting on the Lord. The Lord said, you wait for me by the Sea of Galilee and I'm going to come. And there he was. There he was. They were waiting, but he got tired. And he said, I go a fishing. John chapter 21, he says, and these things Jesus showed himself again. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. And they were together, Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana of Galilee and the sons of Zebedee, and that's James and John. And two other of his disciples. That sounds like a good bunch, doesn't it? Wouldn't you like to have been there with those seven disciples? You know, you would think they'd be sitting there, oh, I'm waiting for Jesus. He said he's coming, so I'm looking for him. No. He said he was going. He's going to meet us at Galilee. Just go wait. He's coming. And there they were. No doubt his promise was true to them. They believed it. They held it. He had appeared to them. Remember when they were gathered. Even Thomas, who doubted, Jesus came back and appeared to him. This is the third time Jesus is going to show himself to them. But he's already shown himself after his resurrection. And oh, what a beautiful thing to think about. The resurrected body of our Lord Jesus Christ. What does it mean for us? It means the one who went to the grave for us. The one who died for us and came forth from the grave secured the very reality and truth that when we die and our body goes to the grave, it's not just going to lay in that grave and never come forth. One day when the Lord comes again, as sure as He has a resurrected body, you and I will have our bodies resurrected and all the parts of it that are breaking down and falling apart, and the eyes that don't see as well as they used to, and the ears that don't hear as well as they used to. And I know some of you are sitting there, well, my eyes are doing okay. Hang in there a while. I'm saying they'll leave you. And all the, you know, I've got some teeth got to be fixed. You know why? Because they're falling out. They're falling out. Gonna have to keep patching this old body up. But I'm telling you, one day, by the grace of God, when our Savior comes in the sky and in the clouds, there's going to be a shout. The voice of God and the trump of God is going to sound out in the voice of the archangel, and there's going to be a change. And this old vile body, the Apostle Paul said, is going to be made and fashioned like unto His glorious body. And His glorious body they were able to handle. I don't know what heaven's going to be. It does not yet appear what we shall be. But I know this, when He's going to appear, we're going to appear with Him. You know who that means? That means all these dear loved ones that have already gone home to be with the Lord. They're already in the presence of the Lord. They're already enjoying His presence in heaven in their soul and in their spirit. But there's a waiting in heaven. There's an anticipation in heaven. There's a waiting here on earth. Don't you long for the day that's going to come when the finality of it all, when all this trouble is going to be over and the Lord's going to come, and the powerful God of heaven is going to cry, and the dead are going to rise, and they're going to be in their... You know, it's not going to be zombies. They're not going to be walking around like zombies. Not anything to be afraid of. There's going to be a resurrection of both the just and the unjust. Now, I'm not going to get into the resurrection of the unjust, but there will be the resurrection, and it will be at the same time, and there will be judgment that comes upon those who unjustly lived and ungodly lived, and that would be you and me were it not for the grace of God. Thanks be to the grace of God. When the division is made and He sets His sheep on the right hand and the goats are on His left, thanks be to God that He will have us safe and secure. And you know why? Because He loved you and He loved us even before the foundation of the world. And every once in a while He'll show us that by putting an eagle in a tree or lighting up a passage or allowing you to have a little brother or sister along the way, you know, say something that you know came right from the Lord to you. And our lives are filled with that. Wake up. I'm saying it to me. Gary, wake up. You're not alone in this world. You're not by yourself in this world. You may feel like that, but you're not. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother that loved you enough to die for you, and He's not going to let you alone. And when you get in your mind and your thoughts, I think I've waited long enough. I think I'm going to go fishing. Now, you know what that means, really? I think I want to do what I want to do right now, not so much what the Lord wants me to do. You ever get there? Where rather than listen to what the Lord says, I want to run the show a little bit. Sometimes it's like where Jesus is dry. Jesus, you know, as they say sometimes on the bumper sticker, what is it? God is my co-pilot. And like I've heard some brethren say, well, then please stop the car and get out and let Him drive. Stop your car, Dave. God is your co-pilot in life. Please, brother. Let us remember, Jesus, Savior, pilot me. I need Him to be in charge of my life, don't you? I don't need to make up my mind today and say, I'm going fishing. I'm going to do what I want to do. But the Lord doesn't leave us when we do that. All those of His little children, as He says in John 15, that bring forth fruit, He comes and purges so that they may bring forth more fruit. He corrects us. He shapes us. He deals with us. Even though we bring forth fruit, there's much more fruit that we could bring and should bring. And He doesn't just leave us in that stagnant condition, but He brings us to a place where we're to grow in grace and knowledge of the truth. And God forbid that he would prune us and cast us away. John 15, I was looking at that passage last night as well. John 15 talks about it being cast away, and men gather them, those branches, and burn. And I know there are many of God's little children been there who looked at that passage and thought, well, does that mean I can be cut out of Jesus and be lose my everlasting life and end up burning an eternal woe? That can't be what it's teaching. How do we know that? Because he tells us in the Gospel of John in chapter 10, he tells us this. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. John chapter 10 and verse 27. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. You know what that means? That means he who began a good work in you, what? Shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And to be cut or cast away from him isn't talking about eternally. It's talking about timely in fellowship. Listen, I don't want to be cast away from him in time. Do you? I need him. I need him. But he will never cast away one of his chosen eternally. Because he gave to them, he said, they are my sheep. They are his people. And he says, I know them and they follow me. What does that mean? That means he worked in them and they follow him in regeneration. They are born of the Spirit of God. They hear his voice and they follow him. There's the difference that's made in you. Do you love the Lord today? If you love the Lord, it's because he first loved you. Have you called out and prayed to him and looked to him? If you've done that, it's because he has first called down to you. He started this. He's the one who chose you. The Bible says he foreknew you, which means he loved you even before the foundation of the world. And there's nothing that can separate you from him. And we're not talking about losing our eternal home, but we're talking about the timely fellowship of the Lord. We're not talking, as I've often said, about relationships. We're talking about fellowship. You see, a father and a son is going to be a father and a son no matter what, because you're born into the family and you belong to your father, but you can have no fellowship though you have relationship. In other words, a father and a son could be separated. They still are father and son, but there's no communication. Are you getting that? You're not cut out and kicked out of the family. God is not going to kick you out of the family. If you're in the covenant of grace, he's not going to remove you from the covenant of grace. If you were chosen in him before the foundation of the world, then the glorification that comes with that will happen to you no matter what. But where are we right now? Listen, I want to listen to him. I want to follow him. And I believe you do too. And I need him. He says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. If you ever get to fearing that you're going to perish, remember, the Lord who gave you life gave you eternal life. And if it's eternal life, like I heard brethren say, if it indeed is eternal life, it has to be by definition forever. Or otherwise, he'd given you life that might turn into eternal life, but he didn't give you life that might become eternal life. He gave you eternal life. You know what that means? You'll never die. That means you'll be with him. That means you are in his presence. It says, give you eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. That means no man can separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's good news. But oh, don't we need fellowship with him? Here were the seven. Back over in chapter 21, he says, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a fishing. In other words, we're waiting, but now I'm going a fishing. There's nothing wrong with fishing. I'm not saying anything's wrong with fishing. But for them, it wasn't time to go fishing. And how do we know that? Because he goes on and he says, and they say unto him, we go also with thee. Isn't it something when one man goes along and says, I'm going to do this, the next thing you know, you can encourage a whole lot of people to go along with you? In other words, rather than doing what the Lord is leading us to do and directing us to do. We'll do our own thing. And the next thing you know, we say, I'm going to do that. And the next thing you know, you got a whole bunch going with you. And we all, listen, as a church, where should we be encouraging one another? Where should we be? We should be encouraging. This isn't to force one another. This isn't to lay down a bunch of rules that somebody has to follow or any of that. It's to say we need to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and that we are walking in that way and we need to encourage one another. That's one of the purposes of the church, to encourage one another. When you see your pastor, which you will see, start doubting and fearing and getting troubled about things that we ought to be trusting in the Lord, you encourage me to lean upon the Lord, to look to the Lord who is able to supply what we need. And it's my duty and my responsibility to do that with you. We need to help one another. Y'all agree with that? I need to be a help. You and I need to be a help. And Jesus was so much of a help to them that even though they were in disobedience, I believe, as they went here doing something that he had not called them to do. Remember, he had called them from the nets and called them to be fishers of men. And he told them to tarry and wait. And rather than tarrying and wait, they got impatient and said, well, let's just go fishing. We also go with thee. And they went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And I love this part. And that night they caught nothing. You ever been there in life? Working hard. I got this figured out. This is the plan. Worked it out. Got the details laid out. This is what I want to do. This is the direction I'm going. I got a whole crowd of good people with me. Must be right. Nobody's praying. Nobody's looking to the Lord. Nobody's leaning on the Lord. Oh, an occasional thought might be, we better ask God to bless us in what we're about to do. Rather than going, is this sometimes how I live my life? I wish I could say never, but it is. Never considering, God, what would thou have me to do? Never thinking, Lord, lead me and guide me and direct me. And if you're right in the midst of this, listen, brother. Here's the good news, that even though that night they caught nothing, Jesus didn't leave them empty. Isn't that good to know? That night they caught nothing, which means God did not prosper them. Listen, the world can go fishing anytime, and they probably will catch fish anytime. But you as a little child of God can't go fishing just anytime. And I hope you're following. You can't just do what you want to do anytime. God has given us directions in His Word on how to live. And we need to be at on our knees in prayer asking Him to guide us. And then we need to look to His Word as a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path to guide us, even when we read it and we can't understand it. Maybe you can just call, maybe you can text a dear a brother and ask him a question and help him in his week when he's battling through storms and trials and problems, and you think, I don't want to bother that brother by sending him any questions, but you send him that question because God put it on your heart and it causes him to dig in the Word. You know how many people have been harmed by digging in the Word? Absolutely nobody. You know how many have been harmed because they didn't look in their Word? Multiplied millions. We don't go fishing when we're looking in His Word. We're digging in His Word. And then when you go fishing, it's under the direction of the Lord. And when the Lord directs you to go fishing, listen, you don't come back empty. Wasn't it because somebody said there just wasn't any fish out there? Oh, there's fish out there. And I'll tell you what God can do. He can take an empty lake and fill it with fish. He will fill our lives with what we need. That night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Now, I'll tell you what. That's an amazing thing, that Jesus could be on the shore Now, what were they doing in Galilee anyway? They were supposed to be waiting on Jesus. So who should they have been expecting to be there? Jesus. Jesus came in my life when I was not looking for him. And he did for me that which I could not do for myself. And he's been with me in the worst of times, in the most difficult of times. He's been my strength and my help. He's been my stay. How could this old boy ever get up any day and not look for him as good as he's been to me? And yet in the weakness of my flesh, maybe you're with me. I do it so often. I might think that I couldn't be one of his if I didn't have a scripture like this that tells me that his disciples were in the same boat. Here's Jesus on the shore, and they don't even know it's Jesus. You ever felt like you were all alone and he'd left you? He may be standing right there on the shore, and you just can't see him and recognize him. He may withhold that from you so that you might see how much you need him, and he might teach you a lesson. It may be that your eyes are so much upon the world you can't see him and recognize him because you're not looking for him. You're not waiting for him. You're not leaning upon him as you should and ought. God has his purposes in these things. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. And then Jesus said unto them, and I love this word, children, have you any meat? You ever had him speak to you in your heart? Just say, how's it going with you? You know, do you have anything to eat? You think Jesus didn't know whether they caught anything or not? Do you think he's asking a question here to find out something? I'm telling you, the one who created the heavens and the earth knows all things. He's omniscient. There's not anything he needs to ask a question about. If he's asking a question, it's not for him, it's for us. Matter of fact, he's talking to me this morning. Maybe this afternoon. It is this afternoon. He's talking to us.
It's 12:04 p.m.
Okay. Thank you, Leah, for my Apple Watch. Children, have you any meat? Where are you today? Do you have something substantial to eat spiritually? Is what you're believing satisfying you? Does your life have joy in it and peace and rest? Children, you know what he's saying? You belong to me. I love you. Children, I love you so much that when you were lost and hating me, I sent my very best from heaven, your Savior Jesus, to die for you. The agony that would have been yours in an eternity of torment, the mighty Jesus carried that in his own body and removed it from us so that he would be able by grace to come and say, children, you belong to me. Have you any meat? Got anything to eat today? I say we do, don't you? I say we do. Sometimes I'm not looking at it. Sometimes he's right there on the shore and I can't see it. He's already got this worked out, by the way. Jesus knows exactly what he's going to do here. And they answered him, no. And he said unto them, here's his direction. Here's his word. What should we follow? Our way? Let's go fishing? How's it going to work for you? You're not going to catch anything. I'm telling you. He loves you too much to let you just go on your own way without and getting along your way and ignoring him. He loves you too much for that. He's not going to allow that. He's going to bring you to the place where you say, I don't have anything, Lord, without you. I need you. I need you to direct me. I need you to be with me. I need you to guide me. I need you to help me be what I'm supposed to be, no matter what my job is or what position I have in my family. I can't be to my family what I need to be without thee. I can't be what I'm supposed to be on my job without thee. I can't be what I'm supposed to be to thy church without thee. I need thee. And if I try to do it on my own, I might get a whole crowd to go along with me, but we'll all be fishing and we'll catch nothing. And he'll come to us because he loves us. You have any meat? How's it going? How's this working for you? Jesus said this, you cast your net on the right side. I've heard men talk about, did that mean the right side of the boat? Or did it mean the right side of the boat? Like, was it the left side might have been the right side if it was the place where the fish were. Where you cast your net. You know what the right side is? It's the place where Jesus instructed us to cast the net. In other words, whatever he says. What did he say to the, what did the, Mary say to those that came to, and when they needed wine at the wedding in Cana of Galilee? What did she say? Whatsoever he saith, do it. You know, that's good instruction. Now that means we need to know what he says. You know how we find out what he says? We come to the house of God to hear from his word what he said to us. We hear what he has taught us in his commandments, and then when we hear them, we're supposed to do them. Otherwise, we just say, I'm going fishing. I'm going to do my own thing. Jesus saith unto them, children, have you any meat? They answered, no. He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship. And here's his word. What did he say? Maybe you'll get a bite over there. No. maybe there's a possibility something will happen over there. No, they didn't know what was over there, but Jesus knew what was over there because what was over there, he put there. He knew exactly. He knew not only one fish, two fish, three fish, but he knew 153 fish. One eagle in a tree, about 153 fish in the Sea of Galilee. Not little fish. Not a little fish in the bunch. They were great fish. You know, you go fishing, sometimes you catch some, you can catch those you got to put back, but you know, that's just too little. You know, there ain't much there. Just, you know, just a little. That's just, no, they didn't catch one fish. They caught 153 great fish. It says, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And they cast, therefore. What did they do? They did what he told them. And now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. So that tells us it wasn't because there weren't fish in there that they didn't catch anything. It was because they were outside of the will and the direction of Almighty God. And he loved them too much to allow them to prosper in their own efforts and in their own way. Isn't it good that a God of heaven loves us so much that he doesn't just let us go our own way and get by with it? Now the world, for the time being, can do that, but there's a day of judgment coming there. But you and I just can't act and live and talk just any old way. We're to follow in the one who's made us new creatures. This gets bigger and bigger. I don't really want to stop, but I need to stop. I should stop. Take those fishes. They've come to bring them to the shore, and the net ought to break. That's how abundantly blessed they were. The net ought to break, but it didn't break. And when they got to the shore, he didn't say. He didn't say, okay, bring some of those fish over here, let's cook them. No, when they got to the shore, he already had everything right there, already prepared. Isn't it good to know that's the kind of God we have? And he says to those that he loves, you come and dine. May the Lord bless us in our lives just to trust in him. Don't try to go fishing on your own. Trust him. Look to him. and follow what he says. And he'll bless us in our lives. And he does that because he loves us. And we, in that sense, occupy here in this world until he comes again. And when he comes again, he's going to carry us home to be with him. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. If he's going to do all that for us, can't we trust him with every day? Is it not true this is the day the Lord has made? We will rejoice and be glad. How many times do we do the opposite? How's your day going? Jim, how's your day going? Dad, how's your day going? Oh boy, let me tell you, all this. No, this is the day. May this be that comes out of my mouth. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Cast your net on the right side, and ye shall find. When you have a mind to pray, remember me, and God bless you. Appreciate your attention.
Number 92.
What number?
92.
92. Did you have it already?